Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is indeed the weekend of the Cubs convention, and what better way to celebrate it than with our friend Ron Coomer, America's friend Ron Coomer. Ron, good morning. How are you? Thanks for
morning,
coming
Ron.
In.
Good morning. Happy New Year, guys. I haven't seen you since the new year.
And you look magnificent. You look so salubrious. Look at you. You're just
salubrious.
Helpful.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a big word. Look at
Coomer.
Coomer. Mr. Hughes, tells I appreciate me, it.
You've got a meeting after us.
Yeah. I do. That's exactly right.
You didn't wear that for us. We know that. Yeah. So, Ron, we've been talking all morning, and people have been responding all week to this scandal, the sign-stealing scandal. What has been your reaction, and what disappoints you the most?
Probably the biggest disappointment for me, first and foremost, David, is I'm sick of hearing about our game and the cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, enough already, right? Can we get past all this cheating and quit cheating the game, quit cheating your opponent, quit trying to take an unfair advantage, and let's just play the game. I mean, I played during the steroid era, the entire steroid era.
Yeah.
I signed in 87. I retired in 2003. I was engulfed in it. We had union meetings about it. And everybody was protected. And it was ridiculous. As a non-user, I felt cheated. And you're like, and we had meetings about this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why are we protecting the guys that are cheating our game? Why aren't we protecting the guys that are doing it right? And now we're kind of in that same boat. And I really appreciate what our commissioner's doing by he put that thing out with the watch issue, the Apple watch, right?
Yep.
Which I'm wearing, not for cheating on signs, but the thing was, is he put that out 2 years ago or a year and a half ago to say, we are not going to do this, right? And everybody just went, huh, no big deal. We're just going to continue on. So you did it. And now they're paying a serious penalty. And to be honest, I'm really happy that our commissioner stepped up and went, you know, Mr. Manfred's like, you're out. Everybody that's involved, you're out.
Well, let's start with what the benefit is. Let's say they're cheating. Let's say you're at the plate and your little your Band-Aid buzzer goes off and tells you what the pitch is going to be.
Curveball.
How much of an advantage is that for a hitter?
Extreme. To the point where it's tough to explain. It's that much of an advantage. So we're here in studio, and you got the TVs on, and they were showing Altuve hit a breaking ball from Aroldis Chapman, mm-hmm. who throws at 100 miles an hour. Well, he sits on a backdoor breaking ball that's in a great spot down and away. Well, because he wasn't flinching for the fastball and knowing he's got to cover a 100 mile an hour heater, he's just sitting there waiting for a big curveball. And he got it, and he hit it in the seats, walk-off game winner. To me, if a guy's throwing 100, you got to protect to the 100-mile-an-hour fastball
right
first. And if you know something soft is coming, massive advantage. Massive.
So my sense is that you probably agree when Alex Wood tweeted, he said, I'd rather face somebody who is taking PEDs than somebody who knows what's coming, because the person who knows what's coming has a greater advantage?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. The advantage, you take an average, let's say even a little bit of a below average big league hitter,
mm-hmm.
and you give him the advantage of knowing what's coming, he turns into a really good hitter.
I'll tell you how it is.
So here, this will give you, when you go watch batting practice at the ballpark,
mm-hmm.
pick a big league stadium, and you watch some of the young kids come up that are struggling in the league at the time, but they're getting balls thrown in and they know what's coming and it's straight, and they're knocking ball after ball after ball into the seats. And then come 7:05, they throw a little wrinkle in it, they sink it, they cut it, speed goes back and forth, and they're a 220 hitter. And back to AAA they go. That's all you got to know.
Are you surprised at how widespread it was? I mean, if the team is using a video room and it's right behind the dugout and they're, you know, banging trash cans, whatever it is, that there's no attempt to disguise what they're doing. Everybody that is sitting there would be well aware of what is happening and how it's working. There's the blatant, the obviousness of it is what's so shocking to me.
It's not shocking to me, and I'll tell you why. The league has mandated all of these new rules in our game to protect the health of the player. And the throwing at people, the knocking the catcher down, knocking the guy down at second base, taking the guy out, all these rules are in place now. If an umpire deems a pitcher might have thrown at a guy, he can throw him out of the game. No warning, no nothing. I saw the tape of the White Sox, a young kid with the White Sox, and they were banging the garbage can. He called the catcher out. 25 years ago, he'd have called the catcher out and said, "You just stand and sit there behind home plate, and I'm going to throw in right under his jawbone, and we'll and then I'm going to look in their dugout and go, hit the garbage can again."
Right.
And he's going to get one in the ear hole. And the next hitter's going to get it. And it would have been a star player that would have got it. And that fixes it.
Yeah.
That's where taking care of business on the field is so important.
Right.
To be able to do that. But now, because of all of these rules, you can't do it. So now everybody feels entitled that they can't throw at me.
So you can't. So you're a player during the steroid era who did not take steroids. Mm-hmm. And obviously you feel like you, in retrospect, how unfair that was. When you look at around the game now, I mean, how pervasive is this in your mind? Do you think that the eight teams that were mentioned, does every team try this to a degree? Are the Astros and the Red Sox, were they just better at it because they had people who were, you know, committed to orchestrating it? Or how deep does this go, Ron?
That's a great question. I don't have the answer because I'm not in the clubhouse or I'm not in a big league dugout. I'm in a booth. I would say this. There are certain people in our game that don't have the integrity to play the game right. And then there are people that I've been around for years that will always do things properly. Like, I couldn't imagine, you know, our Cubs ball club or even on the south side, Rick Renteria, have integrity. I just can't see them crossing the rules line to cheat to get an advantage. You know, push right up to it? Absolutely. We all do, right, to win. But to cross the line to that extreme, I don't see it. I could never see a Joe Torre doing that and allowing that. But to me, it comes down to integrity, and we've talked about, you know, who's in charge of the dugout? The manager is. You can't tell me. I just know for a fact. Everybody on the ball club, all the coaches, everybody knows what you're doing when you're doing that. There is no doubt about it on that ball club.
All right, we're going to come back with Ron. We'll get into some of the Cubs talk, all the moves that weren't made that might be made. We'll run a couple rumors by him and get his take.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
How much have you checked in with Chris just to make sure he's blocking out all the noise that's out there involving his name right now?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him. He told me he got a tan in Hawaii, and I didn't believe him, so, and he wouldn't send me a picture. But I've talked to him a couple times. You know, he's excited. Him and his wife, him and Jess are having a baby, so I think he's in a good place, and he knows too. It's a rumor until it happens, and you know, it's the MVP of the league a couple years ago and guy who puts up consistent numbers, so we hope he's on our side. That's for sure.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Anthony Rizzo. He, of course, will be at the Cubs convention, and he's talking about Chris Bryant, who will also be at the Cubs convention, but there has been talk of trading away the 2016 MVP, and we're blessed to have Ron Coomer here in studio, and he's also going to be at the convention. My God, what a funny a combination of people. And Ron, it seems, I don't want to be a meathead about it, but it just seems like that's a guy that, you know, you saw come up, you heard about him when he was in the minors, you know, watched videos of these home runs he'd hit. Then he comes up, he's rookie of the year. Just from one award to the next, they win a World Series, and now here we are. I know it's not yesterday, but it just would be painful for fans to lose a guy like that. And yet, if you can't, the business end of baseball is such that maybe that's the reality we're going to have to face pretty soon here.
Yeah, I would say you're going to have to face it real soon.
Right.
when this grievance is over, we'll see what happens. You know, that KB has filed a grievance, him and his agent, mm-hmm. With Boris about, you know, the, his time.
Service time.
Yep. time, you know, in his rookie year. And when that grievance is over, you're going to, that's held up all the Cubs' activity in mm-hmm. free agency this offseason. But once that is resolved, and I got to believe, just from my own years of being in our game, he's probably going to lose that grievance with
right.
EKB. And,
sure.
And then I could definitely see him being moved.
So anticipating that, Ron, this weekend, how do you balance that reality and with the expectation that the Cubs probably will take a step backward this season if they are doing so without Chris Bryant, with the enthusiasm that just comes with having a fan gathering talking about the upcoming year?
Well, it all depends on who you get back. You know, you look at different teams, and to be honest, I hope we don't move Chris.
Right.
I mean, KB's a great guy. He's been, you know, one of the anchors of this, you know, championship caliber team with a championship. So that's first and foremost. I hope they don't move him, and I hope they figure out what they want to do. But, you know, he's up for free agency. I think it all depends on who you get in return, David, to answer your question. You know, if you're you have to, when you subtract certain players,
yeah.
What you're adding is vital to getting younger, getting, you know, guys that you have control of longer, and that's what makes big league franchises sustainable at a high level. You know, I remember watching the Phillies, and they were a great ball club, you know, in that 2008 to, you know,
sure,
to 2011, 12, and then all of a sudden they got real old real fast.
Right.
And they just fell off a cliff. And I think when you look at that, and they had big salaries and all those things, and, you know, they just, you couldn't sustain that. So, you know, if you're going to look to be a contender for a long period of time, which this club is looking to do, you know, there's going to be moves to make. I hope they don't move KB, but, you know, the rumor is that they've offered him a deal. He didn't accept any of it. So, yep. You know, that's the rumor. I don't know that.
He's got 2 years left if indeed he loses the grievance as expected. And then if he's turned down your long-term contract, you've got to get something for him because of the quality of the player. And it's the reality of baseball.
That's right.
Do you understand when you hear Tom Ricketts, and you'll hear Theo later today, talk about the wanting to adhere to the luxury tax and the competitive balance, you know, situation in terms of what the payroll is. As a former player, as somebody now has been around the game for 33 years, you were talking about, is that just the reality of it? Does that sound like an excuse? How do you explain that when people ask you, well, you know what, the Cubs are printing money, how can they claim to be, you know, worried about a budget?
Well, every business, David, as you know, I mean, I've been in business myself, so I was 23 years old. Everybody's got a budget. That's okay. I get no problem with that. And you got to, you know, the Cubs budget, it's not like they were even in the middle of the league in payroll. They were number two last year. So
right.
It's not like there's a lack of spending. You know, they were well over the threshold, and they're trying to get to that mark and not get extremely penalized after this coming season. So I just think, you know, that's on Theo and them, and he said that. You know, that's on me too, as Theo said, quoting him, to get us into a position where we're extremely competitive and stay at that threshold mark, not go way over it and then get clobbered, you know, by the luxury tax. So, you know, that you're talking about an over $200 million payroll. There's some teams that did it, you know, one being right. my old ball club, for under $100 million mm-hmm. payroll, and they were in the playoffs. So you got to do your business right. And you know, the guys, their track record's been pretty good.
When you start talking about the track record of some of these young guys, you know, they're no longer young guys. They've grown up in baseball terms. And then, unfortunately, the offense was broken. We heard Theo talk about that. We saw kind of the fade at the end of the year. Where are they at? Do you, when you hear David Ross say we have enough and we can contend, the problem is the division is getting better. And they're coming down to earth a little bit with the division, you know, and I don't know how you view it, but I keep hearing everyone going crazy about the Reds now. And we saw what the Brewers were. We know what the Cardinals are. So it just becomes even more difficult when you got other teams.
There's no doubt. A couple of the guys that were touted to be everyday players and they're going to be this took a step backwards last year. There's no doubt. You know, and those guys in center field, we've got to find something that's going to work in center field. You know, a couple of the young players got an opportunity. You know, and it's all the same mistake. You know, they're all falling into the same traps, some of our right-handed hitters. You know, Elmore and Bodie, I think, fell into that trap, and the league kind of caught up with them, and now it's their turn. And I think having the same hitting coach 2 years in a row now with Iapozzi, I think, you know, some continuity in that spot is going to help them too, these young hitters. You know, they're getting preached the same message over and over and over, and I think eventually, you know, it sticks, they believe. You know, to me, it's a pretty simple case. They've got to use the whole field for these young hitters, because if they don't, they're just not going to succeed in our game.
Until he signs somewhere else, Nick Castellanos still is a possibility for the Cubs to bring back. Yep. He would be expensive. He would be kind of signing him would be contrary to the message we've heard about the adhering to the budget and avoiding the penalties. What do you think about that possibility, and is that still in play?
I think it's still in play, or else Nick would have already signed. I really believe he's had enough people knocking on his door where he wants to play here. He loved playing at Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field is the perfect place for his style of hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a short right center field gap, which he uses very well. The ball can land in the seats. He can hit an extra base hit. When you look at the ballpark in Detroit, Comerica, it was big, and it cost him a lot of extra base hits, and it cost him some home runs. I think he really fell in love with playing at Wrigley, and that's why I think it's still in play big time. But there's got to be other moves made to free that up to get him here.
Right.
What would you be surprised if there was more than one trade? I mean, do you think, you know, we keep hearing Wilson Contreras' name was mentioned for a long time in the preseason or in the offseason. That's still a possibility. There's a possibility of trying to use him to maybe move Hayward. That's been talked about. Mm-hmm. Do you buy all that stuff? Do you think that that's a real possibility, or do you think it's more like one move than two or three?
I would say one move more than two or three, just for the simple fact that when you're trading frontline players, you know, now Wilson's a two-time All-Star. They're difficult trades to make. You know, the stars got to kind of line up when you're trading guys like that. So, one, maybe yes. Two, boy, that gets difficult. And, you know, I actually heard a couple days ago like a three-team trade. Now, that's another option, too. Where you can really, you got to get a little, you know, you got to get a little lucky that all three teams can find a way for it to work. But it would not surprise me if something like that happens.
Ron, everybody's talking about the rotation and losing Cole Hamels and plugging in Chatwood and all the things about starting pitchers. What are they going to do about the bullpen? And how much faith do you have in Craig Kimbrell being the guy that they, you know, are paying handsomely to be after getting him last year in June?
The bullpen's the issue right now, not the rotation.
I
think the rotation is what it is. Darvish took a major step forward, I felt, you know, the second half of last year, and you could see the confidence building in him and him just performing at the level that you signed him. I think John Lester's getting a little older, but Johnny is still, he knows how to play our game, and he's going to be just fine and do very well. And the rest of the Kyle Hendricks, another guy that people don't talk about because he's not a power guy, but he gets outs.
He's the professor.
He's the professor, and he knows how to play our game. So I really think our rotation's in fine shape. I'm not concerned about it, but we've lost bullpen guys that were keys, and you know we're hoping that the Wick brothers, you know, the lefty and the righty, they work out real well, which I have no reason why they wouldn't. You're hoping Cal Ryan continues on his, you know, keep moving forward. But that was his first year of really having a lot of success. And then Kimbrell, to me, I watched way too many guys. It was a very bad trend in our game to kind of ice out the free agent and not sign the free agent guys 2 years ago. And I really, when you saw those guys come back to our game, all of them struggled. Almost every guy had major struggles. And that's what happened to Kimbrell last year. And I really believe when he gets a full year of regular spring training, regular work, you know, is he going to be the guy that was a World Series champ in Boston? To be determined, but he'll be much better than he was last year.
Ron, thanks a ton. Thanks for coming in. Always a joy to see you. You always make us feel good about stuff, even when it's disconcerting.
Well, yeah, it's hard questions. It's going to be an interesting weekend to see how all this is handled. because you have, you know, the scandal with baseball as as a sport MLB wide.
Yep.
And you've got sort of dissatisfaction with where the Cubs have been in terms of inactive
zero
off season. It hasn't really started yet.
No, you're
right.
The
off season starts when the grievances settle.
To me, and I know you guys have talked about it because I listen. Why does this grievance have to take so long?
Oh my
God. Is it that difficult?
Well, Ron, it was only 2015. I mean, it's only been four and a half years.
Oh my gosh.
That, you know,
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And I know this is a bad analogy, but it's like watching a jury stay out. I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's good news or bad news.
Right.
You know, that if this ends up being, if they rule against him or rule against the team, that's really bad for the Cubs.
Yeah, it is.
So that will affect the value of the player. And you know, I don't know. I said to David before, if he's only here for one more year, they might end up having to keep him and then trying to get a deal done when it lines up.
And if that leads to that, then maybe it's not such a bad thing.
Right. Maybe it ends up being
a
blessing.
Keep KB
and maybe Chris Bryant gets the message.
You got an all-star third baseman. That's all good. Yeah. So
could be worse.
Great to talk to you guys, and I'm glad the commissioners lowered the boom on some of these people that are cheating our game. I'll tell you that.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.